Heavenly Father, thank you for always looking to our heart, to knowing what's on inside. And so, God, we do cry out. We come to you, and we invite you into this place, invite you into our heart and life. God, give us your peace. God, settle it deep in our heart that you will give us your peace. And all that we have going on in life, we give it to you. And Father, we invite you into the rest of this service this morning because your word is speaking directly to this subject today. God, we just invite you to speak to us. Would you pierce through the bone and the marrow of our bodies today to speak to us clearly from you? Let your word be like hot coals from your altar to touch our lips, to bring wholeness, your righteousness, your peace, your presence. God, we invite you into the rest of this day, into the rest of our time together. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And Calvary Church family says, amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. So beautiful. Especially since that topic is going to be the message this morning. So good morning to Calvary Church family that's not only here, but to those watching online. And if you're watching with us online today, would you just post where you're at? We would love to know where you're viewing from. Also, Kingdom Kids, this is your time. You can exit. You're out of here. So Kingdom Kids, have fun. See you later. But wow, what an amazing presence of the Lord today. And this is our topic is on peace today. But before I get into that, just a couple things. I'm going to hop out of my message real quick. Do you have the slide of the church van? If it's not too hard to pull up. Out front, you're going to notice the church van is out there. This is the new van you voted for. And so, yes. And so thanks for your generous giving. We started realizing, even in our board meeting, it's always parked in the garage. So we've gotten it, it's parked away, and you're like, where's this new van? And so we wanted to make sure after service today, you can go see it. I'm telling you, the board, because this was done before we got here, but they hunted. I mean, we were looking, I remember one of our online board meetings when we were still in Missouri, trying to find this board did an amazing, and others outside of the board. There was a team, hunted, and they found this incredible van. It is so tall inside. So I encourage you, after service, open the doors, look at it. I'm telling you, half of the Milwaukee Bucks can stand up inside there. It's crazy. How tall this thing is, but it's all your generosity, and it's so important so that when we're doing ministry trips with our kids, our youth, even as adults, we're able to drive in safety. And that's where, because of your generosity, we can keep having ministry happen. So thank you. Make sure you check it out before you leave because it's just your generosity at work. Praying that you're looking forward to this great Thanksgiving week. Stacy and I are going to be able to get away back to Iowa this week, just have a week with the family. I'll be back next Sunday. We'll be back. We're looking forward to just having some Thanksgiving time with the family. I trust you're able to do that as well, just to have a good time of giving thanks. You know, it's more than just the food. It really is a moment that we should take stock and say, God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness in my life, his provision. He's got you here. And it's a moment that we should never take for granted. Just a quick reminder, again, there's no midweek family ministries this Wednesday night, and also no men's ministry next Saturday. So men, if you show up on Saturday morning, there's no donuts. It'll be kind of sparse if you're, but hey, you could have your own men's group. So men, if you show up, yeah, there you go. But no, there is no formal men's ministry next Saturday. Well, anxious to share this message, especially after the move of the Spirit in the service. Today I want to talk to you, and it's a continuation of the series that we're in, but today is talking about the pursuit of peace. And it's when we, our world is in need of peace. I mean, you can't watch the evening news more than 5 minutes and you're going to realize we need peace. And now I'm praying for a little unpeace this week. So I'm praying for all of our hunters that you be effective. So those that might be trying to even watch from their deer blind, trust me, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a couple, from their deer stand. But one of the fun parts is I'm praying that they're effective because every less deer is less of a chance I hit one with my vehicle. So it's a good deal, right? And so pray that they're effective. And if they want to throw a roll of deer sausage my way, bless you. You know, you have not because you ask not, right? Now, I'll probably have a freezer full of deer sausage. knowing you guys, you're a generous church. But praying that they're safe as well. But so today we come to our second to last portion of the blessing that we've been working our way through since we've been here. And next week we'll wrap it up next weekend. But God really wants to speak this blessing over his people. And especially after the message this morning, you're going to totally understand why. So we find our passage in Numbers chapter 6. We'll start right off in verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor. And if you remember to the message, give you his peace." So wherever Aaron and his son blesses the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So today we will look at God's peace, and he wants to give us his peace. We've heard it. Now are we going to receive it? We've heard God speak. Are we going to receive what God is wanting to speak to us? And scripture is clear that God wants to give it to us. So, I mean, let me give you a few scriptural instances. Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. So be confident. If you're going through a trial today, just know God's going to give you strength. And he will also bless you with a peace. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, in you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord is the eternal rock. Isn't that a great promise? That God is our eternal rock. Let's look at the words of Jesus. The very first interaction that Jesus had after the resurrection. When he is coming to his disciples. He says this in John chapter 20, verse 19. He says, "That Sunday evening the disciples were meeting behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, so all of that turmoil was going. Jesus appears. Suddenly, Jesus was standing among them, and here's his first words, 'Peace be with you.'" So the Apostle Paul, in every one of his New Testament letters, and you could look through that, all of his New Testament letters, he begins with a summation of this blessing. He says, "Grace and peace be with you." So when we see this throughout Scripture, you know, it should tell us something that and remind us, God's all about peace. And he's all about not just that he has peace, but he wants to give it to you. This is personal. So as I'm speaking this out, this isn't just for a select number of people today. This is for every single one of us. Every single person, God wants to make sure that you know today that he has peace for you. Now, so what does God's blessing of peace have to do with my life, you might ask? And a lot of it depends on your definition. So here's the cultural definition. The dictionary definition of peace is this: as tranquility, calm, the absence of conflict. So when you have that type of a definition, all right, of peace, the absence of conflict, tranquility. Now, maybe I'm all wet. Maybe it's just me. But with that understanding, doesn't that lead you down the road of deep disappointment? Because there's parts When is there not conflict? When is it really always tranquil? In some points, when we begin to go down this road, our world is in chaos. It doesn't take you 2 minutes when we think of the war over in Ukraine, what's happening with Israel and Hamas, even just a few weeks ago with the shooting in Maine. I mean, it just does not take you long to realize that there's conflict. Here's an interesting note. New York Times noted that of 3,100 years of recorded history, so from recorded history where we have records, New York Times did this research, and they found this, that about 8% of those 3,100 years had no conflict. So think about that. Out of 3,100 years, 286 of those were without war. Only 286. That's kind of amazing that there wasn't some conflict or war happening at some point around the world. So one of the 8,000 treaties recorded have been broken. So here's what we know. We will almost always be in a world that has some conflict going on. And so one of the amazing parts is that in spite of that, God wants to bring us a peace, but it's different than the cultural definition. So the word used that we find in Scripture, when you understand the biblical word, is the Hebrew word is shalom. And in the Jewish culture, peace was known not as the absence of something, but the fullness of something, which is really God's presence. So shalom is really talking about the fullness of the presence and wholeness of God in our life. Shalom means tranquility, but it means there's a harmony and a peacefulness of being complete in God. What an amazing thought. And when we begin to track on that, God's peace is offered not just in, capture this, God's peace is not just given in moments, but into every moment. So in every moment, there is a harmony of God that he wants to bring into every situation, into every moment, not just some select ones, but in every part, every detail, every single thing we do. So how do we begin to track this? How do we begin to capture this peace? What would be some images of that, of being surrounded by conflict and yet having peace? A good picture would be of palm trees. In fact, if you have that picture, if you could pull it up, that would be great. One of the amazing parts of when you picture palm trees, especially in a great storm, one of the amazing parts is palm trees will bend in incredible degrees, but they continue to stand. So with the violent winds whipping things around, rain pours down, throws vehicles around, but somehow the palm trees still stand. They might lose a few palms, but the tree itself is still there. It's amazing. They bend, but they don't break. Scripture even speaks to this. Psalm 92, verse 12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Here's the part. God wants you to know that he has a peace that's going to be with you, that you'll be able to stand within the storm. And there's a couple things we can learn about a palm tree, all right, that helps the palm tree go into this. So how do palm trees stay standing? First off, know this. The number one thing is the flexibility is that it has the flexibility to bend in the midst of the storm. Scientists have actually found that a palm tree gains its strengths when it's bent like it is in the storm. So like a traditional tree, if you cut down a traditional tree, you'd have the rings of growth. If you cut a palm tree down, you're going to find these brown dots all throughout the trunk. And what those brown dots are actually strands that go from the root to the very top of the tree. And they're all interconnected. Almost think of them like when you see a metal cable that has all those fibers twisted tight to give it strength. That's exactly what's happening, a very vascular type growth that takes place inside the palm tree that goes from the root to the top. And that's what allows it. And even when it bends with wind, it actually helps give it its strength because those strands inside will get stronger, they grow, it feeds the tree. It's amazing. So what's incredible when we begin to think about this is that the storm actually gives strength to the palm tree. maybe that should be a challenge to us, is maybe if the storms that we're facing today, and maybe you're not like me, but when we get hit by a storm, some points, I really want the storm to stop. But maybe what God needs is for that storm to keep blowing a little bit. So maybe we need to be slow to say, God, in stopping the storm, but God, give me a peace to stand within it. Because it's the very parts, just know as storms come, God can use it to build a strength in us that could only happen in that way. But a second reason that the tree, in fact, that is the second reason I started to jump into it, is that cross-section of the tree, the strength of those inside vascular stretches of the tree is what enables it to grow. So when you have the tree's flexibility, those strands, it should be reminded that those strands are all interconnected. It's one of those parts, when I started looking at that, that really challenged me is being connected. Just much like the palm tree, when you're in a storm, those strands going up from the trunk all the way to the top, they're interconnected strands. What an amazing picture for the church. Because when you're going through storms, you never want to go through it alone. So if you're alone today, my challenge to you is get deeper connected. Have people to pray with you. Getting relationally connected. Being a part of a church. I'm so excited. In fact, there's several of you that we've talked that want to become members. Just know the first of the year, we'll start our first connection class to help you to join a ministry and become even deeper connected as a member of the church. But it's vital that you get connected, because when you go through a storm in isolation, your thoughts, your prayers, God never intended life to be done in isolation. And it's one of the tough parts about COVID is it cut off so much relationship, so much fellowship with one another, and we're still trying to recover from that depth of loss relationally. And the U.S. was already challenged. I can still remember, and the research has not gone different in close to 20 years. 20 years ago, I was leading a missions team, and we were in Holland, and I finally saw a USA Today English newspaper. Everything had been Dutch, and I was so excited. I'm like, yes, USA Today, finally. Get caught up in the news, but there it was on the front page of the newspaper, America, the loneliest nation in the world. 24% of adults in a Gallup survey said that they were lonely and had only one single friend. And what's fascinating is 20 years later, that needle actually has gotten worse because of COVID, but it has not moved greatly lower. It's trended higher. So here we have so much technology to get connected. We have friends watching online today on Facebook. We have all these different platforms, emails, text messages. We can do video chats with each other. And yet, we're lonely. So in the midst of the storms today, God wants to give us a reassurance that there is peace. So here's the big idea that I want you to have from today, that you walk away from. This is the big idea. Peace is not the absence of chaos. It's the presence of God and being rooted in Christ. So just know that you're going to have moments that chaos is going to come, storms will come. So if you want an encouraging word, here's my encouraging word today. The storms will come. Yeah, you're already kind of grinning at me going, that's not very encouraging, Pastor Kent. You failed. you're failing, but storms are going to come. And what I want to encourage you with today, and maybe it's apropos because we're heading into the holiday season, and we'll have sometimes you have family time. Sometimes it can be a little too much family. And so maybe there'll be a little storm happening on the family side there, huh? Putting up with family. One of the great things, just know, even in the other side, the bigger chaos, the bigger storms, is that even though the storms come, God wants to bring a peace. And maybe you've been told that when you give your life to Jesus, that means, hey, your life is going to have no more problems anymore. And if you've been told that, they have told you wrong. In fact, let me go to Jesus' words, John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, one of the greatest anchoring parts, so here's Jesus, even assuring, and this is before Calvary. He's just, take heart, just know, have peace. Have peace, because you're going to have trials and sorrows, they're going to come. And in this world, we're going to have them. When Jesus is uttering this, he, in that context, to that audience, they're under Roman rule. They're overtaxed. It's under a dictator. There wasn't a lot of freedoms. So the Jewish crowd is saying, they're starting to look at Jesus as, oh, here's the Savior. A whole new physical kingdom is going to be coming to pass. Jesus is going to deliver us. And Jesus didn't deliver them from the Roman storm, but he did give them peace. All of a sudden, a peace that was different because it's a peace that began to transcend, that came from the inside out. But I want to take you now to another part. So remember when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus and a storm came about. So when the winds came and the waves were crashing against the boat, the disciples started to freak out. So look at it with me in Mark chapter 4, verses 35, starting off in verse 35. That day when the evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat, there was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, and so it was nearly swamped. So you getting the picture? This wasn't just some slight rocking. I mean, water's lapping in. Just what you want to have when you're in a boat, right? No. But there's Jesus. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the winds died in completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and then began to ask each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." What I find amazing, too, is this, is they were terrified of the storm, and now all of a sudden they're terrified of the peace. Because they're looking at, oh, even the winds obey him. So now they're terrified on a whole nother matter. So here's my encouragement to you. When we look at this picture, I mean, they're freaking out. And it's easy for us to get freaked out at the moments the storms hit us, right? We could be saying the same thing that the disciples are saying, "End the storm, God. End it. Be frantic." But we can have confidence to know, just like storms, in fact, storms of life are going to blow up at any moment. So I've been told this. And how many of you have been on Lake Michigan when, or maybe out in the bay when a storm has rolled in and caught you while you're on your boat? Raise your hand real high, all right? Thank you. I just need to know who I'm boating with if I'm ever out with you. So if you were caught off guard, I just need to know who's not watching the forecast maybe. No, I'm just kidding. Just thinking ahead. See, that's preventative pastoring right there for me. But no, what's amazing is we can get caught off guard in a moment. Something can happen on the bay, can happen on the lake. And so we've heard the stories from you. And we've been on points on a much smaller lake where we've had storms pop up on us and you get caught and try to make your way to the shore. And it is terrifying. One of the greatest parts when we begin to realize is that in the midst of the storm, our God, and notice Jesus' response, Jesus looked at them and he didn't rebuke them right away. He just went and he spoke directly to the storm. And it's one of the parts that God wants to instill to you today is a peace, his peace, that comes from the inside so that you can speak and pray against the storms that you do encounter. that there's a peace and a security right where you're standing, that in faith, Lord, the situation is going to be different. And I begin to pray toward it, not in frantic, but in faith. And it's an amazing big difference. But it's a gift that he offers each one of us, and it's his peace. And he wants you to make sure that you see it tonight and how that comes across. Look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is one of the beautiful chapters in the Bible. If you're like me, you end up going through it many times during the year just because it's so beautiful. Some of it's the poetry of it. But I love how it starts off, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Very appropriate passage even as we enter Thanksgiving week, right? Because that have all I need starts to denote a thanksgiving and a reflection back of just the goodness of God. But he's my good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And here's the amazing part that as we, the storms will try to remind us, if we focus on the storm, we forget how big our God is. All of a sudden, the storm will be bigger than what it actually is in comparison to our God. It's what I love about Psalm 23 is this piece that God wants to teach us about this morning. No, it first off, it comes from my shepherd. And even as storms come, look at verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. It's an interesting, always kind of one of those awkward when you look at it. He prepares a table for me in some translations in the presence of my enemies. And you just kind of go, it's just sometimes it's just kind of, is it taunting? Or what's God really doing in that situation that, or that he's such at work that I have this feast right in front of my enemies? And I want to give you a different picture of this. So if when you think of the word table, when you get into Israel and you get around that part of the Middle East, there's tablelands. And so maybe, just maybe, this passage also starts to help us to have another picture that the tablelands that when you get into the terrain are an incredible, vast, flatter area, kind of like a plateau, that has grass, that has abundant food, but it's also abundant with enemies, as it was in Jesus' day. And so maybe what's amazing is that picture is to be able to be in the tableland where you have plenty of provision. It's lush. It's a beautiful place to be, but then there's enemies all around. So when we begin to see that duality at work, even in that picture, even in this verse, even as God prepares a feast, he'll provide. Even with enemies around us, God brings peace. Look at the verse right before that. And then this is the beautiful poetry of Psalm 23, as David shares here. He goes, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. What an amazing, just protection and comfort. See, God drops peace into our soul and he gives it so it changes us from the inside out. And I hope you're capturing that flow. Is that when God settles his peace, it just isn't going to stay here, it's going to go out. And this is an important lesson for us as a church, that as God does his work here, does things in the altars, does things in your life, he does not want that work just to stay here. He wants to do that transformation and that new work to go through you when you go back to your jobs, to your neighborhoods, where you live, wherever your feet take you. He wants peace to go forward. He wants you to be essentially peacemakers. But look back at this, at the passage we just looked at in Mark, verse 39 through 41, Jesus got up, he rebuked the winds, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the waves died down and it was completely calm. So when Jesus, at peace, connected to his walk with his relationship as the Son of God, his connection with God, he speaks to the storm. And then there's peace. So when we walk in when we have that personal tranquility, that clarity, that inward relationship with God, what's going to be amazing is God will bring that to flow out to create an outer unity, an outer peace, a unity that goes from a peaceful personal peace to a communal peace. God has that for you. He has this for this church, that Calvary Church can be a church that if we flow with what God's wanting to speak to us today, will be a peace that we have anchored in our life, but it goes out and it reaches out and touches Marinette, Menominee, begins to touch Porterfield, Peshtigo, Searing. There's a lot of different places that God wants to let us know that his power, his presence will go wherever we will. So it leads me to this question. And maybe to ask even myself, but ask God this question: God, do I just seek personal or individual peace? Is that what I focus on? Sometimes even for me, I'm challenging myself. God, am I so focused on me that I forget about the bigger picture of what you want to do through me? We need to have that mindset all the time that God wants to do more than just bless me. He wants me to be able to be blessed to bless others. God wants to give me his protection that I can help inform others of his protection. There's parts of this blessing that we've learned over the last 6 weeks that God wants us just to not to be keepers of it, but distributors of it. And this is very much to the heart of Jesus. When we begin to look at the Beatitudes, what did Jesus say about it? Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, notice this, says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." See, we'll be blessed as peacemakers. The one who activates peace in himself will in turn bring peace to those around them. In Judaism, shalom is more like an ethic. It's more like a meta value, if you will, as words. It's something you work towards. You strive towards it. Look at Psalm 34, verses 14 through 15. It says this: "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Seek peace and pursue it." I love the duality of these words in Hebrew: peace, shalom. But to pursue, that pursuit is a military word. It's used like when a military is seeking out an enemy. So what's amazing is this, I mean, it's almost oxymoron that they're together in this phrase. To have peace and pursue it. Because of the different natures of the words, but they couple together very well. Do we passionately pursue peace? Like stalking peace? Do we wage in the same way we would, because of that pursuit, it's military, it's like you're at war. Do we wage war for peace? Do we wage war for peace inside and out? Maybe we need to start a revolution of waging peace. Maybe we need to set up a different culture that what our communities ever experienced and what God wants to do in us and through us. See, this is an important word for Calvary. I think sometimes we try to overcomplicate it because some points God wants you to be a peacemaker in so many different situations. We make it hard, and sometimes, you know what, it is hard, but it's simple. But it's doing stuff like peacemaking is stepping in when sometimes it means taking a hit. Because you're walking into maybe a tough situation and you know, oh, they'll just come at me. But you still step in to people's life because they're hurting. Peacemaking is sometimes stepping in and standing with someone, just letting them know you're here, you can stand, I'm with you. Peacemaking is getting into a conversation and changing the tone of the conversation. Just like the disciples when they were in the boat, their rhetoric was up here. Jesus spoke to the wind and then looked at them. Why are you afraid? Do you still doubt? See, there's parts. I don't hear Jesus yelling back at them. I see a Jesus that stands and just said, "What were you worried about?" This is the Kent Hulbert version, all right? I see Jesus standing in that boat going, not shamefully, it would be more like, "What would you expect? Why do you doubt? And I could see even Jesus grinning because it's like, I've got this. Why worry? Why care? I'm with you. And see, God wants us to know and be reassured that we are called to be peacemakers, and God's going to help us to change the conversation and set the environment. But it's up to us to step out of our comfort zone and trust him. God, walk with me. Keep giving me that peace. I walk in communion with you. And when we're walking into that inner connection with God, and we have our fellowship of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, remember those vascular strands of a palm tree. When we are connected and we're rooted down in with Christ, and we have that, and we begin to walk into that peace, even though there's storms blowing, and it will turn us, guess what? We will be stronger, and we will get through it together. So I want to close with a couple questions to you. I want to ask a couple questions, really to reflect on. A couple things to you today. Are you holding on to guilt from a past mistake? Are you holding on to bitterness from something past that's happened? Are you holding on to fear? Fear is running rampant right now in our nation, and it still ripples out from COVID. Pray with me that we would see a move of God, an awakening, that just like Jesus spoke to the waves, be still, that would speak to our nation, that would settle nerves. You don't have to fear a virus. Yeah, you take protections, but this is something you do not have to fear. We will get through it. Is there something that you just fear of maybe even trusting God? God, can I trust you with this thing today? Are you holding on to anger or waiting for circumstances around you to change? Take action today, which leads us back to our blessing that I need to speak over you again today. Because this blessing that God wants to do is give you peace. God wants you to have a peace that just settles. That you have a confidence to know that Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is right next to me. He's with me. He's got me. He's my great shepherd. I will have nothing to want. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. He wants to give you his peace this morning. He wants you to receive his peace. But it starts with placing your faith in who Jesus is. Are you trusting him as your Lord and Savior? If you're here today or if you're watching online, maybe you've never done it before, or maybe it's been a while. But if you know that Jesus is not the number one thing, if he's not leading your life, and if you're not trusting him as your Savior, guess what? That's the starting spot. And for the rest of us this morning, what are you holding on to? Are you holding on to the storm? Some points when the storm starts rocking, do we hold on to the boat more than we hold on to our God? Do we hold on thinking just that somehow the circumstances will get better, when we really need to be really stepping in closer with our God? If I could have our worship team come, I want us to take some time this morning, especially before Thanksgiving week, to be reminded that God is a God who wants to bring peace to our life. And if you're here today and you do not know that Jesus is the number one thing in your life, if he's not leading and directing your life, there is no other starting spot than that. And we want to pray with you right now, if that's you. So with every head bowed, would you pray with me this moment? Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for being an amazing God who loves us right where we're at. God, thank you that we don't have to put on a mask. We don't have to dress up in any way to impress you. God, we can just come as we are, who we are, and you receive us. You hear us. And Father, I just pray right now that you will just begin to give us a settlement, a settledness in our walk with you, and have a confidence of a blessing that you want to give us today. And that is of your peace. That doesn't come from a judging God, but from a God that loves, because the judging part has been settled by what Jesus did on the cross for us. God, we just come to you today in grace, in humble faith. Speak to us. So with every head bowed, if you're here today and you know you need to make a recommitment or a commitment for the first time to Jesus, this isn't joining the church, but it is making a new relationship that Jesus is the Lord and leader of your life. If that's you, would you just look up my way? I want to pray with you. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Are there others? Excellent. Would everyone pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Loving me enough that you would bring me here today to hear from you. I give my life to you. Forgive me of doing life my own way. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life to you. Do a new life in me. Be my leader and my Savior. Direct my life. Give me your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, and there were several of you that did, and if you did this online, I just encourage you, just know that God's got a special plan for you, and this is just the start. And you have and one of the best things you can do is get connected into a church, and that's why this church is here, is we're family. Regardless of where you are now part of the family of God, but we would love to be part of that family for you. So in a few moments, we're going to have those who, in fact, I'll even ask them to come now, if those prepared to pray, if you'd join me up front, our anointers, if you would join me, who will be praying for those today. What I ask is this, as they make their way, I just, if you're going through a journey right now, and you just need Jesus to speak peace, I want you to know that there is a peace that God wants to give you today. In fact, even as that, would you stand with me if you can? Because what I want us to do is, as we have them up front, we're not going to do a formal dismissal this morning. We're going to go back into a time of worship. And I really feel it's apropos today with the message that we had heard at the beginning and really what God had prepared a month ago. I had really planned to end this message, this series, a couple weeks ago, but God kept showing. And I just know definitively God wants to give peace today. So if you want prayer, and this is where, as we go back into a time of worship, I encourage you, whether you're at your place or you're seating, just dig in, worship God, say, God, give me that peace today. And maybe you're walking through some situations in life that you just want to have agreement with. If there's a physical ailment, let us anoint you with oil today. And believe that that physical storm will be healed and that there'll be peace. If you're going through a relational storm, just know we are going to be in agreement with you. So that's why we'll have people up here to pray with you. And also, just if you're not in a storm right now, praise God. We'll have storms. There's probably one brewing on the horizon. But here's the great thing is it's like, God, I just want to be anchored in that goodness of you. So I'm ready when the storms arrive. And that's the part where we go into worship. If you got to go, go. But even before you come, I want to pray that blessing over you. Pray that blessing over you one more time. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile over you and be gracious to you. Lord, may you give us your favor and give us your peace. To the praise of your glory, to the building of your church and the building of our lives, God, we invite you. to continue that work of peace that you want to give us if we will only but ask. And so, Lord, we worship you, we seek you, in Jesus' mighty name, amen.